Hi, everybody. This is John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record on my way to and from work as a high school instructional coach in Arlington, Virginia. Today, we are talking all about one of my favorite topics in teaching, and it is a very basic thing that we'll break down over the course of about 10 minutes. If you've heard the terms before, I hope I don't butcher them too terribly badly. If you're new to them, I'm going to do the best I can to sort of walk you through a 101 level primer on all things related to the cognitive load theory and schema theory. So we'll get into some science-y brain stuff in just about 30 seconds. But first things first, these are designed as a conversation, as a dialogue, not as a brain dump monologue. I use the brain dump to sort of get the conversation started, but I take all this stuff and put it out on social media. I would love very much for you to jump in the conversation there with me. So if you have Twitter, feel free to tweet at me. I'm at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name. M as in Mary, E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, and E-D-U as in teaching, because I really like teaching, and I love talking about teaching with people who are smart and excited about this profession, because we make each other great. So, today we'll be talking about schema theory and cognitive load, and if you have more to share on this, please feel free to tweet at me. But today, I want to get into this conversation by way of a bit of a brain exercise. Ready? If you're listening at home, if you could for me, no cheating, no Googling. I want you to tell me the names of all seven dwarves. Ready? On your mark, get set, go. Oh, wait, maybe some dramatic Jeopardy music in the background. Maybe I should be quiet so you can think, right? Okay, time's up. Hopefully you have all of your dwarves ready to go. If you could give those back to me now, that'd be great. See, it's weird because I'm just pausing and you don't know what's going on. Let's do another one. Let's talk about the Great Lakes. You remember those from like, what, 6th, 7th grade, right? Great Lakes. If you could, name for me the Great Lakes of the United States, Canada, the ones who touch both of these major bodies of water, right there up in the northernmost part of the U.S. Ready? On your mark, get set. Go for it. Okay, time is up. If, pencils down, if you have answers, let's see how we can compare our answers to that. But when it comes to our dwarves, we have Sleepy, Sneezy, Dopey, Doc, Happy, Grumpy, Bashful. So go ahead and give yourself a point for each of those seven dwarves you're able to track down there. When it comes to our Great Lakes, we have Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Superior. Those are five Great Lakes. If you're able to get all five, congratulations. That's awesome. If you didn't get those, that's okay. It actually leads very neatly into what we're talking about today with what they call schema theory and the cognitive load. And I'll save one more mnemonic device there at the very end to sort of help give it away. But mnemonic devices play into this really well because schema theory and cognitive load theory are these related ideas that first emerged in educational research in the 1980s or thereabouts. Very simply, a bunch of brain researchers got together and figured out that the human brain can only ever make sense of about seven new items of information at a single time, give or take. So when you're listening to a lecture, for example, I just told you a bunch of stuff. In fact, that thing about seven items at a time, that's one piece of stuff that I put in. And so you had to kind of write that down on your, like, your verbal scratch pad, if that makes sense. Like, you had to take notes on what I was saying, and even if you didn't write that down on a piece of paper, you certainly lodged it in your brain. Okay, fine. That's cool. Earlier in this podcast, I also gave you my contact information on Twitter. That was another thing you had to sort of lodge in your mental verbal scratch pad, right? So now we have Meehan EDU is floating around back there. There's a thing called cognitive load theory. That's a second thing. Schema theory, that's a third thing. We now have, oh, this came out in about the 80s. That's a fourth thing. These podcasts are about 10 minutes long, so that's a fifth thing. I kind of mentioned that earlier here. So now we have like five pieces of information already floating in, and we're only 4 minutes into this 10-minute podcast. What we find is that cognitive load theory basically says your brain works like a sponge, and anytime you have seven items or more full up into that sponge, give or take about three items, the sponge needs to dump all that load. It needs to do something with it to sort of lodge it into deeper storage memory. Otherwise, it gets lost forever. Now, the way the research works out is that the cognitive load loads up both your verbal scratch pad, the one with the words, and your visual scratch pad, the one with like pictures. And so if I was giving this podcast as like a video, for example, and you're looking at me and I think I'm wearing a red shirt today, or maybe my bald head is no hair styled, but I'm wearing a funny tie or something like that. These are two or three different visual things you're taking in, as well as what the background looks like or any images that I'm putting up to sort of help supplement this presentation. And so again, if that magic number is seven things can be held in the human brain at regardless of whether they're visual or verbal. Already we've stacked like 30 things at you here at the 5-minute mark into this podcast. That's really hard because your brain hasn't done anything with it yet. You haven't had a chance to ask any questions. You haven't had a chance to interact with it. You haven't had a chance to like do a brain dump of your own to dump out the sponge that's getting so full up with this stuff. And what we find in the research is that if it's not dumped sooner than later, it usually just gets dumped for forever. There was a Nobel-winning physicist. His name is Dr. Carl Weimer. A few years back, he did a research experiment where he just gave a lecture. And he's a Nobel Prize-winning physicist, so he knows his stuff. He's not like bad at it by any stretch of the imagination. And he found that after 20 minutes, only 10% of the students in his class, and these are like scientific numbers, he didn't just make it up, only 10% of the students remembered the exact answer to something that they had been lectured about some 20 minutes prior. And that's crazy, because like he's really smart and really good at his job. Now, someone could point out, maybe he's just a great researcher, but he's not a great talker, and that could be fair too. But what we find time and again is the research bears out that if people are presented with just too much information at once, they lose it. And if you don't believe me, what's the guy's name, right? I mentioned it like 30 seconds ago. But as we're trying to distinguish, is this important or is that important or is this the most key takeaway or something else, we lose sight of those little details. The name is Dr. Carl Weimer, again, by the way. But that's really not the point of the story, and that's kind of the point of this story, is we get so much at once, we have to do something with it. And so schema theory kind of proceeds from cognitive load, and it says every time your brain has 7 or so chunks of information that it needs to process, and they say give or take like plus 3 items, it has to attach it to an existing schema, or it has to create a new schema by which to remember a bunch of information as one small piece of information. Malcolm Gladwell talks about this a lot in a lot of his writing and research. The idea that the difference between a newcomer to a craft and a master of the craft is the size of a packet of information that they can hold in their brain as a singular item. So, looking at our original model, for example, quick, naming the 7 dwarfs. If you don't know the 7 dwarfs, you have to think about each one individually. Well, there's a dopey, and there's a guy who sneezed. What was the guy's name with the glasses? Oh, he was the smart... Oh, yeah, Doc, right? So you're doing that thing where each one has to be remembered individually because they're part of different schemas in your brain. What if I told you the 7 dwarfs can be easily remembered with the mnemonic device? 2 S's, 2 D's, 3 emotions. I learned that one when I was in like the 8th grade because my family's big into Disney. And so 2 S's, 2 D's, 3 emotions. Now you're not remembering 7 things. Now you're remembering, at best, like 3 things. Quick, can you give me 2 S's? Well, we got a sleepy, sneezy. Okay, how about 2 D's? Well, now you're kind of in the groove, right? Oh, I got a dopey and a doc. 3 emotions. Happy, grumpy, and maybe like the one that everyone forgets is bashful. But that would be like all you would forget in that little mnemonic device. The same holds true for our understanding of the Great Lakes. If I said, quick, give me 5 Great Lakes, that's an arbitrary piece of information that you probably learned and forgot. Because you can Google it, it's the type of thing that you don't really hold it deep in your brain. But if you remember the acronym HOMES, H-O-M-E-S, that tells you in sequence, starting, I think, from the right to the left, every one of those Great Lakes in order. Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, Superior. H-O-M-E-S. And I'm able to do that because I have a schema in my head that says, oh, if you're asked for Great Lakes, just remember HOMES, and you're good to go. So it's able to free up all that scratch pad space in my brain to like pay attention to other things because I know that it's lodged deeper with an existing sort of like batch processed file that I can pull against. And the easiest one we can always think of is when we were kids, my very educated mother just served us 9 pickles or 9 pizzas to remember all of the planets in the sequence. Again, you're not remembering the names of every planet, you're remembering one singular sentence. That's why telephone numbers work the same way back when he has to remember those too. Just 7 digits plus or minus the area code. So when we give information to students, it's critically important that we pay attention to how much we are overloading their schema. If you're giving a PowerPoint, for example, and you have 2 or 3 bullet points on your slide with like a really neat picture or graph to help illustrate that concept, while that might make sense to you because you've had to distill it down to just that for the presentation purposes, and you've taken a really difficult concept and really broken it down to like small bite-sized steps, to students, that's all new information. Every one of those bullet points is a totally brand new concept often, and that picture that you've included right alongside of it, they don't know if it necessarily means something that that person's wearing a blue shirt or a white shirt, that that graph is in pink or in blue, or that the background is, you know, A, B, or C. And all of those things, while it seems so insignificant, the brain has a really hard time of processing new information while trying to store information that it needs to keep much longer. So when we design our lesson, when we design our instruction, always keep in mind our schema theory and our cognitive load, that we can, however possible, really keep these things to these 7-item bite-sized chunks. And specifically, not just that we give it in small chunks, but that students are always interacting with it so that they have to do something every time they have about 7 new items of information. Because if they don't use it, they lose it. And that is our story of cognitive load and schema theory for today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for this week's podcast. If you like it, please feel free to subscribe on iTunes. Tweet at me. I'm at @mehan_edu, and we'll talk more next week. Happy to join in any conversations. If you're using this in your class or if you have other ideas, please feel free to let me know. We're all smarter together. Thanks again, and we'll be back at it next time.